Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, this is Christmas, the anticipation and the fulfillment of the one born to be the light of the world. He was born like us. He grew like us. He was tempted like us. He suffered like us. And he laid down his life for us. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we're thankful for your birth and that your birth set up everything else. And so, Jesus, tonight we celebrate that you are the light of the world. And we ask you to light up our lives and light up our year and light up our future. Because if we're honest, this Christmas we're heavy. It's dark. Jesus, be the light in our world, the light in our lives and our hearts. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Tonight we've heard the Christmas story, the story of a baby born in Bethlehem who's born to be our Savior, born to save us from our sins, from our brokenness, from our flaws, from ourselves. But I got to tell you a secret. Can I do that? Can I tell you a secret? Like back then, not everybody wants a Jesus who's born to be our Savior. Back then, there were a lot of people who didn't want to receive the salvation he was offering. They didn't want to be saved from their sins. Now, to be fair, like us, they wanted to be saved from their problems, from their pains, from their difficulties. And if we're honest, we're not that different. How many times have you thought this year, man, I just wish Jesus or God or someone would just pull us out of all of this? Like many back then, we would probably all rather the baby save us from our difficulties than from our sins. Certainly, it's been a dark year. And we all need some hope, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's good. We want for God to show up and deliver us. And what we want is for God to show up and deliver us from all this craziness, from all this confusion, from the difficulty and darkness of COVID. But Christmas isn't the story of God showing up to pull us out of darkness and difficulty. Christmas is the story of God showing up in the darkness to be the light. The story of how God came near to be the light of the world. The story of the baby born in Bethlehem, born to be our Savior. I find that I am so reminded this time of year that the hope in life is not in escaping the darkness, but walking hand in hand with the baby who grew up and lived and died and is still the light of the world. We're not the only ones to ever have a difficult year, right? December 1939, some 80 or so years ago, the world was at war. And to be fair, America wasn't in that war yet, but Great Britain was. The Third Reich of Nazi Germany had ruled Germany since Hitler took over in 1933. And in September of 1939, Great Britain entered the Second World War. And 3 months later at Christmas, the nation was gripped in the clutches of fear. With every air raid siren that pierced the ears of the English people, anxiety increased and fear overwhelmed them. And there was great uncertainty about the year ahead. And it was on the minds of all of Great Britain's citizens. In December 1939, King George VI was England's reigning monarch. And as was the custom, the king addressed the nation on a BBC radio broadcast on Christmas Day. In those last uncertain days of 1939, and everyone tuned in. And the king spoke words of peace to calm his nation. He reminded them of the one true, the only king, the one who came to to provide peace and rest in troubled times. As King George concluded his message of encouragement, he read the preamble of a poem that was given him, brought to his attention by his young daughter, Princess Elizabeth, as we know her today, the Queen. Here's the preamble of that poem. It's called, at the time it was called God Knows. It was later renamed the Gate of the Year for this preamble I'm about to read you. It begins like this. It says, I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And the man replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. And that shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. And so I went forth, and finding the hand of God, I trod gladly into the night. And he led me toward the hills and the breaking of day. The poem went on from there. The point was clear. The king was telling his people to put their fate, their lives, their future in the hand of God, that in him is more than a certain sense of light, that in him is the light of the world. You don't have to go far in your Bible to find this theme of light and darkness. It's in the opening verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. So powerful. Light, as the scriptures moved on and the story of the people of God unfolded, light became associated with the personal presence of God. By the time you reach the end of the book of Exodus, we find this verse, Exodus 40, 38, says, so the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels, that when the light moved, they moved. That light was the personal presence of God. And many times over the centuries, God promised in his scriptures to send a deliverer, a Messiah, one who would light up the darkness. And by the time of the prophets, they look forward to a day where God would send that very deliverer. Some 700 to 750 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah said this, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, that on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. In context, there was actually some mention of the people of Galilee there, prophesying that the Christ would spend much time dawning his light in that land of deep darkness. Just a few verses later, Isaiah said, for to us a child is born, his humanity. To us a son is given, his divinity. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so Luke says, as we've already read tonight, that Joseph and Mary went from Nazareth to Galilee, in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. He was pledged to be married to Mary. She was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Don't you think she thought, not tonight? And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. You know the story. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And the glory of the Lord is always represented in Scripture by bright, radiant light. They were terrified, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people, that today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Don't you think the sky lit up that night like you and I have never seen? And of course, the angel said, this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. So now you have all of the skies filled with the light of God, with the glory of God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. And you have this in the Gospel of John. It opens this way, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Very philosophical. And he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. Meaning that what we read from Genesis a while ago, Jesus was there, he's eternal. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A few verses later, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, again, radiant light, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. I have one more for you. It's a retelling of the story. It's from a kid's Bible. It's the Jesus Storybook Bible. And speaking of the shepherds, it says, they caught their breath and quietly. The shepherds tiptoed inside and they knelt on the dirt floor and they'd heard about this promised child. And now he was here, heaven's son, the maker of the stars, a baby sleeping in his mother's arms. And this baby would be like that bright star shining in the sky that night, a light to light up the whole world, chasing away darkness, helping people to see. And the darker the night got, the brighter the star would shine. It's been a lot of darkness this year, but the darker the night gets, the brighter the star will shine. So what does that mean for you and me? Well, the Old Testament makes a clear connection between light and the personal presence and the personal character of God. All born in the Son of God that night. Emmanuel, God with us, the light of the world. And his light in the darkness means everything. That the baby born in Bethlehem, who would be the light of the world, came to bring the light of forgiveness in the darkness of hate, the light of hope in the darkness of despair, the light of peace in the darkness of war, the light of love in the darkness of indifference, the light of life in the darkness of grief, the light of grace in the darkness of evil. Of course, light and darkness are not equals. If you don't believe me and you don't believe the Bible, ask the physicists. It's what John said, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. But physics tells us that light penetrates darkness, not vice versa. That at most levels, darkness is simply the absence of light. That there is no darkness so dark it can overcome the light. I love the word that was in Isaiah 9. It said that on a people living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Now, you probably slept in this whatever day you're watching. But if you saw dawn this morning, you would know that the light erases darkness. That light is erasing darkness. That forgiveness is erasing hate. That hope erases despair and peace is erasing war. That wisdom is erasing confusion, healing erasing disease, joy is erasing discouragement, grace erasing evil, love erasing indifference. And Jesus came to be all of these things in my life and in yours. And Jesus said this amazing thing along the way. You know, there's that moment in time where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But there was another moment in time where he said, you are the light of the world. You are. In other words, we're to embody that light. That we're to be wisdom erasing confusion, healing erasing disease, joy erasing discouragement, love erasing indifference. And we want to challenge you to be transformed by him this year. You know, inside that box we gave you Christmas Eve in a box, kind of hidden down in the bottom of the box, there's a card. And I want to challenge you to do something practical as a family with that card. I want to challenge you. We even stamped it. No excuses. You just got to address it, write it, send it. I want you to find someone that's experiencing some darkness right now and bring them joy, bring them grace, bring them healing, bring them forgiveness, bring them peace, bring them love. Will you take the time to write a card in these fleeting moments of Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Be the light in someone's life. You might ask, why does God show up to be the light in the darkness when at least theoretically he could just pull us out of it? I came across this from Proverbs 31 Ministries. Kimberly Henderson wrote, I would have pulled Joseph out, referring to the Joseph of Scripture, out of that pit, out of that prison, out of that pain, but I would have cheated the nations out of the one God would use to deliver them from famine. I would have pulled David out. I would have pulled David out of Saul's spear-throwing presence, out of the caves he hid away in, out of the pain of rejection. But I would have cheated Israel out of a God-hearted king. I would have pulled Esther out of being snatched from her own family, out of being placed in a position she never asked for, out of the path of a vicious, power-hungry foe. I would have cheated people out of the woman God would use to save their very lives. And I would have pulled Jesus off. I would have pulled Jesus off the cross, off the road that led to suffering and pain, off the path that would be nakedness and beatings and nails and thorns. But I would have cheated the entire world out of a Savior, out of salvation, out of an eternity filled with no more suffering and no more pain. Friend, I want to pull you out. I want to change your path. I want to stop your pain. But I know I'd be wrong and I'd be out of line because I would be cheating you, even cheating the world out of so much good. God knows. Certainly, it's been a difficult and a dark year, but even in dark times, a baby is born. A reminder that God is at work. You know, it's powerful how much the world can change when a baby is born. Again, we're not the only ones to ever live in dark times. Perhaps the darkest time, most similar to our time today, was a century ago. 1918, the world struggled through the Spanish flu. And over those years, there were three waves of infections. Estimates would suggest that 500 million people became infected with the Spanish flu. 50 million of them died. In one month, October 1918, nearly 200,000 Americans died of the Spanish flu. It was a dark time. About a third of the world population was infected. That being said, no one really noticed the babies born that year. You wonder what became of them, don't you? Of course, no baby has changed the world as much as the baby born in Bethlehem, but every time a baby is born, it changes the world. You know someone pregnant right now who's going to have a baby in all of this? The babies born in 1918, yeah, some of them changed the world. Let me share you a few. Ted Williams, you heard of him? Famed baseball player. Born August 30th, 1918. There was a guy born, started a little store, and they expanded a little bit, and they expanded a little bit. His name was Sam Walton. Have you heard of him? I bet you shopped in his store. March 29th, 1918, Sam Walton was born. He started what we know today as Walmart. Paul Harvey, who filled us all in on the rest of the story, born September 4th, 1918. Nelson Mandela, born July 18th, 1918, whom after spending 27 years in prison, was elected president of South Africa and became one of the greatest examples of forgiveness and reconciliation the modern world has ever seen. Nipsey Russell, an American comedian, poet, and dancer, born September 15, 1918. Betty Ford, First Lady of the United States, back in the 1970s. She was born April 8, 1918. Howard Cosell, sports journalist, made a name out of Monday Night Football, March 25, 1918. I really like this one. Katherine Johnson. You probably became familiar with her story. She was lead character, based on her story, essentially, in the 2016 film Hidden Figures. She's an American mathematician whose calculations on orbital mechanics as a NASA employee were critical to success of the first and subsequent U.S. crewed space flights. She's also one of the first women and certainly one of the first African-American women to work as a NASA scientist. And there's one other born in 1918. You might know him. He's probably spoken to more people about Jesus face to face in front of crowds across the world than anyone else. He was born November 7th, 1918. His name? Well, he was later called Billy. Billy Graham. Who knows what God will do through the babies born in 2020 or through those born again. Now, of course, no baby has changed the world, brought as much hope as the baby born in Bethlehem as we celebrate Christmas. Let me ask you this. In a year where social distancing has been both required and painful, aren't you glad that Jesus didn't stay away? That he plunged right into our darkness to light it up, to be the hope of life, that God came near. And the miracle of Christmas is that God didn't stay away. And if you're honest, we give him every reason to. So I want to ask you, do you need the light of the world in your life? Do you have the light of the world in your life? I always end our messages with two prayers. And I'm going to pray both of them right now. And after that, we're going to light some candles and we're going to sing Silent Night. But if you're with us tonight and you would say, you know what? I need that baby because that baby grew up to become my Savior. That he grew up and he was crucified. I know that's the Easter story, but he died. They buried him in a cave. He rose again. He took my sins, my wrongs, my darkness. He took it on him. And I need him to light up my life. If that's you, you can pray right now with me, just like this. Dear Jesus, please forgive my sins. I believe that you really are God. And I thank you that you were born and that you died and that you rose again to be the King in my life. And so, Jesus, I turn to you. And I put my faith in you. And I commit all of my life to you. In Jesus' name. You know what? If you prayed that prayer just now, I'd love to celebrate that with you. I'd love to know it. You can let me know on the digital communication card we mentioned earlier. You can let me know by emailing me. I'm Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at harvestchurcheugene.com. Just reach out. Let us know. We'd love to celebrate with you and help you understand what it means to be a Christian. We'd love to give you a Bible and talk about all kinds of cool stuff. And if you've never worshiped with us before, we'd love to have you with us. Join us here at Harvest in the new year. Now, you know as well as I do, we're online right now. We're meeting online, but you can find info about our online services. You can find info about when we begin to gather in person again. You can find all of that on our website, harvestchurcheugene.com. In the new year, we're going to begin a new study in the Bible, a new series that we're calling Stronger, because we all need to be stronger, to be strengthened in the Lord. And we'll talk about how all that works in January. If you're with me tonight and you have asked Jesus at some point to be your Savior, and he is. And you need him to light up this year ahead. And you need him to light up in you so that you can bring that light to others. Maybe you want to pray this prayer of application. It's a prayer of discipleship. Maybe you want to pray this with me. And pray just like this. Dear Jesus, thank you that you've lit up my life. And so, Jesus, light up my future. Light up the ending of 2020 and all of 2021. Jesus, help me to be the light of forgiveness in the darkness of hate, the light of hope in the darkness of depression, the light of peace in the darkness of war. Help me to bring the light of love in the darkness of indifference, and the light of life in the darkness of grief, and the light of grace in the darkness of evil. Jesus, not only be the light in me, but use me to bring light to this world. Do that in all of us, Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. You know, Bob Goff once said that hope doesn't go to sleep just because it's dark. Hope lights a candle and stays up waiting for the rest of the story. And so I hope you have your candles. If you don't, grab them right now. Because as we do every Christmas, we're going to light our candles. We're going to celebrate how powerful it is that the light of the world came to be in our lives. Now again, if you don't have candles at home, you can use a flashlight, you can use a cell phone flashlight, or just the light of a cell phone. But with it dark in your place, let me light your candle. You can use the Christ candle. Share it in your home and sing with me as we sing Silent Night. Wow. So good. So good. I never want to blow out these candles, you know what I mean? I just don't. We're going to sing one more song, but before we do, I want to say a couple of things. I want to say thank you. Thank you for celebrating Christmas with us. Thank you for allowing the hope and the light to come into your life. And thanks for tuning in and doing that with us. Again, if we can serve you in any way, we would love to hear from you. We would love to know if you've prayed to follow Christ tonight, if you need to connect with the church, if you need something this season, we'd love to hear from you. Before you blow out your candles, I would encourage you to take a moment with your family and you know, snap a selfie. I think it's worth bringing some light to social media. You know what I mean? Snap a selfie, your family with your candles, and post it online. Let's light it up. Again, if we can do anything for you, please, please, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at harvestchurcheugene.com. There's one more thing I want to leave you with. As we've discussed tonight, we get to be the light of the world, that the light of the world came not only to light up us, but to make us the light so that we can share that light with others. So let's go be that light of joy, that light of hope, light of grace, light of love. Let's be that this Christmas.